Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bound by Danger by Danielle M. Haas, narrated by Marnie Young. Chapter 1. The tight smile on Mickey's face made her cheeks hurt. They'd only been in the air an hour, and already her feet screamed in agony from being in heels, and she'd wanted to smack at least one passenger. Why passengers thought it was all right to be rude to flight attendants was beyond her. She glanced toward the front of the plane as the pilot slipped out of the flight deck. He stepped into the bathroom, and the occupancy light turned red. Damn it! He didn't shut the door to the flight deck. Does this guy ever follow protocol? Mickey shook her head and pressed her teeth together. Leaving the door to the flight deck open while in the air was a major security breach, even if only for a minute while the pilot used the bathroom. She glanced over her shoulder and spotted the other two flight attendants 12 rows behind her. She stretched onto her tiptoes and craned her neck toward them, but their focus remained on attending to passengers in the back of the plane. Shit. She'd have to deal with this herself. She needed to close the door to the flight deck, but the stupid drink cart blocked her path to the front of the plane. A flutter of movement caught her eye. A middle-aged man in the fifth row stood. A light brown baseball hat sat low on his head, casting a dark shadow over his face. His head swiveled from side to side, and his eyes darted around the plane before he stepped into the narrow aisle. With squared shoulders, he strode toward the cockpit. Panic tightened her throat, and fear caused pressure to build in her chest, making it hard to breathe. She'd never trusted the security check flying out of Cancun, and something about the determined set of the man's shoulders had alarm bells blasting in her brain. Sir? Her voice shook, and she pushed her card up the aisle at a quick trot. Perspiration clung to her palms, and her hand slipped on the handle. Shrieks of protest sounded as the cart ran over passengers' toes in aisle 8 and bumped against a hulking shoulder in aisle 7. She didn't care. The sinking feeling in her gut told her she had to stop the tall, lanky man in the tan jacket. A soft ding sounded, and the red occupancy light switched to green. Captain Fuller stepped out of the bathroom, blocking the path of the man in beige. Mickey drew in a deep breath, filling her lungs with air, and relief seeped into every fiber of her muscles. The man pulled something from his pocket with his left hand, and the light caught the smooth metallic sheath.
No!
Captain Fuller frowned as the man drew his hand back and slashed the weapon through the air. The pilot's eyes grew wide, and he doubled over. A knife stuck out of his side. Crimson seeped around the protruding knife, spreading out onto his crisp white uniform, like an intricate spider's web. Terror stole the air from her lungs. Gasps of horror sounded all around her. The man shoved Captain Fuller back into the bathroom, pushed the door closed, and disappeared into the flight deck. The door slammed shut. Bile backed up Mickey's throat. The sour, acidic taste filled her mouth and burned her esophagus. She fisted her hand in her hair and scanned the plane. Wide-eyed passengers sat frozen to their seats, but a few hurried to their feet. None of the heroes-to-be were close enough to the front of the plane to make a difference. The door to the flight deck was already closed and locked from inside. Her breaths came out in sharp gasps. Screams echoed around the confines of the plane. She'd been trained for this, but her feet wouldn't move from their rooted spot.
Oh, God, I don't want to die.
Someone pulled on her arm, and she stared down into the terrified eyes of a young woman.
What's happening? Is he okay? Do something!
Hurried footsteps fell behind her, and she whirled around to see the other two flight attendants barreling toward her.
What happened? Is Captain Fuller dead? What about the co-pilot? He's locked in there with that maniac. What do we do?
Panic drew deep lines on her co-worker's tense face, and she spoke in a quiet, shaky voice. Mickey focused on evening her breaths, and her mind raced. None of them had ever dealt with this before. They had to stay calm, or at least pretend to stay calm while they did something. She was in charge, and she needed to act. Now. Mickey straightened herself and forced down the panic clawing at her throat. They had to get into the flight deck. She locked the card in place, hitched her tight blue pencil skirt high on her thighs, and climbed over it. Her knees knocked a stack of plastic cups to the floor, and something wet seeped into her skirt.
Get this damn thing out of the way, and one of you contact air traffic control, she yelled over her shoulder to the two other flight attendants and raced toward the front of the plane. She needed to get to the keypad on the cockpit door. The nose of the plane dipped low, and Mickey stumbled forward. Her palm slammed against the door to the flight deck, and gravity pressed her weight against cold steel. Pain shot through her body like sparks from a fire. She sank to her knees and turned, pressing her back to the wall. She closed her eyes, blocking out the screams, and tried to regain her equilibrium. The plane shook as it plummeted down at a sharp angle toward the ground. Chaos unfolded around her. She opened her eyes, and air masks dangled above the passengers, and they struggled to get them on. Luggage fell from overhead bins. A strong hand gripped hers and hauled her to her feet. She tipped her head back to bring in the full length of the man in front of her. The intense gray eyes of the passenger she'd wanted to smack stared down at her. His mouth was set in a firm line, and his broad shoulders blocked out her view of the hysteria taking place in the cabin behind him. The plane shook even more, testing her balance, and she squeezed his hand. His unwavering stare brought a sense of calm over her. You need to get me in there. He nodded past her toward the cockpit. She let go of his hand, and her stomach pitched like the waves of a tsunami. She didn't have time to deal with a demanding passenger who wanted to play hero. She needed to get into the flight deck and figure out how to get everyone off this plane alive. But how could she do that if a psychopath was in control of the aircraft? Captain Fuller. She needed to make sure he was alive, and maybe he could still land the plane. Get me the hell in there. They staggered as the plane dipped to the side. He fell forward, pinning her back to the wall. Her chest heaved in and out, while her pulse spiked as the hard muscles of his body pressed against her. He reached behind his back and pulled a gun out from underneath his jacket. I'm FBI. A sharp gasp escaped her lips and her eyes searched his. The intensity never left them. But this time, the gray steel gazing down on her gave her strength, courage to do whatever the hell she needed to get out of the plane alive. She choked down a sob, turned toward the keypad, and typed in the code. An FBI agent with a gun could do a hell of a lot more than she could. The FBI agent pushed past her and swung open the door. He stormed into the flight deck while Mickey stared in horror at the man in beige, sitting in the captain's seat. The co-pilot slumped over the controls in front of him. The hijacker whipped around to face them, but before he could react, the FBI agent smashed his fist into the terrorist's jaw. The man's head lolled to the side. The agent grabbed a set of handcuffs from his back pocket and slapped them on the criminal. Do you know how to fly this thing? The agent asked with a steady voice. Mickey turned toward the cabin while the man sat down in the captain's chair. A few passengers stood in the tiny spaces in front of their seats, while others sat still as statues. Chaos reigned, but she didn't have time to deal with them. Passengers were zeroing in on her. She held her hand up to stop approaching do-gooders. She ran in the bathroom and found Captain Fuller hunched over on the floor. The blood-stained knife lay on the ground, and the captain had both hands pressed against his wound. Thick blood oozed between his fingers. Mickey pressed her hand to her mouth to block out the overpowering metallic scent of blood. Captain Fuller lifted his head to look at her. A grimace contorted the already deep lines of his face into small ravines. Sweat trickled down his brow. Help! Do we have a doctor on board? She yelled behind her and grabbed paper towels from overhead. She fell to her knees to press the paper towels against his side. She lifted his hands and placed them on the towels. A tendril of hair fell across her face, and she used the back of her hand to sweep it behind her ear. I'll be right back. Scrambling to her feet, she stepped out of the bathroom and back into the narrow aisle of the cabin. The plane evened out. At least the mystery FBI agent could keep the aircraft steady. They still needed someone to land the damn thing. She scanned the terrified passengers, and her gaze landed on the other two flight attendants, rushing around trying to reassure everyone. Mickey picked up the mouthpiece for the intercom and cleared her throat. If there is a doctor on board, please come to the front of the plane. 100 worried voices assaulted her with 100 different questions. Mickey took a deep breath and held up a hand, trying to quiet them. I know everyone is scared, and I don't have any answers for you right now,
but I have a badly injured man in need of assistance. Please, is there anyone who can help him?" A young blonde woman with a topknot and leggings stood up and walked toward her. She kept her gaze fixed on the floor and grabbed onto each seat as she passed by to keep her balance. She stopped in front of Mickey. The steel behind her green eyes stood in stark contrast to her timid body language. "I'm in my second year of med school. I don't know how much I'll be able to help, but I'll try. You'll be great." Mickey turned toward the bathroom with the girl at her heels. With no hesitation, the girl dropped to her knees and unbuttoned Captain Fuller's shirt to get a better look at the wound. "Do you need anything?" Mickey asked. "A medical kit, if you have it." Mickey closed her fingers around the hard metal of the keys in her skirt. Yanking them out, she strode to the locked cabinets that lined the wall.
"What can I do?"
Allison, her fellow flight attendant, asked as she stepped beside Mickey. The slight tremor in her voice gave away the fear she hid behind her locked jaw and hard eyes. Mickey handed her the keys.
"Help with the captain while I check the flight deck. We need to land fast. I don't think we can do that without him."
"What about Bill?"
The image of the co-pilot slumped over the control panel flittered in her mind, and she winced.
"I don't know, but it didn't look good. Now get the med kit to the bathroom."
Turning the small corner, Mickey stepped into the flight deck. The man who'd hijacked the plane sat huddled on the floor behind the captain's chair, with his hands handcuffed behind his back and his ankles tied together with a zip tie. His chin rested on his chest. The man who held everyone's fate in his hands turned and acknowledged her before facing the wide window that looked out to the sky.
"Have you checked the co-pilot? Is he dead?"
She should see for herself, but lead weighed down her feet and she couldn't move.
"He's breathing. We need to land."
"How's the captain?"
"A med student is looking at him now."
She twisted her hands in front of her.
"He's lost a lot of blood."
"Is he conscious?"
"Yes."
"Then he can help me get this damn thing on the ground. I've radioed for help, and we can touch down in Atlanta. I need him in here, fast." Mickey's mouth fell open, and she stared at the clean-shaven neck and the tousled dark blonde hair in front of her. A shiver raced up her spine. They weren't out of the woods yet. Hard gray eyes turned to her.
"Go get him. Now."
His deep voice shook some sense into her. She stepped out of the flight deck and turned to look in the bathroom. She glanced past Allison, who stood in the doorway, and heaved a sigh of relief. The captain sat a little straighter on the cramped floor, white, wiry hairs curled in a matted mess on his bare chest, and a flush brought some color to his cheeks. His shirt lay in a heap by his side. The young woman sat on the floor, pressing white gauze to his wound. She glanced up.
"He's lost a lot of blood."
Fuller shifted on the floor, using his hands to brace himself.
"Did Bill call air traffic control about making an emergency landing?"
Mickey's tongue swiped across her dry lips.
"Bill's unconscious, but air traffic control has been notified. An FBI agent is flying the plane right now, and he needs you to tell him how to land it."
The color on Fuller's cheeks instantly faded. He pushed up on his hands and collapsed on the floor as air wheezed from his clenched mouth.
"He really should stay down," the med student said.
"Then we all die in a damn plane crash. Not on my watch."
His eyes met Mickey's.
"Help me up."
Mickey pushed past the two women and bent down low. She grabbed the captain's arm, hooked it around her neck, and a howl of pain split the air.
"Allison, keep your hand on his side while we walk him in."
They stepped out of the bathroom and into the flight deck.
"Get the hell out of my seat, son."
The agent looked back, humor and appreciation softening the hard lines around his eyes.
"Are you up for this? I've been through worse."
The man nodded and stood from the chair. Mickey helped Fuller hobble to the seat and then lowered him down. She grabbed Allison's hand and placed it over Fuller's wound.
"I'm going to let everyone know we're preparing to land. Keep pressure on the wound and don't move your hand."
The heat of those gray eyes followed her out of the cockpit. She shook it off and stepped up to the intercom once more.
"Ladies and gentlemen, we will be making an emergency landing in Atlanta. Please buckle your seatbelts and prepare for landing."
Walking up the aisle, she tried to right the cabin as much as possible while the plane descended. Her muscles throbbed with tension, but she pressed on. Outside the window, white, fluffy clouds appeared, and then disappeared. Terrified passengers hurled questions at her with every step, but she fixed a tight smile on her face and continued replacing luggage in overhead bins. The last thing she needed was for a piece of luggage to fall from the storage compartment and knock someone unconscious. The nightmare was almost over, and then she could fall apart, but not until dirt sat beneath her feet. When the outline of the city replaced the clouds in the windows, she walked to the back of the plane and took a seat next to Vanessa, the newest member of the flight crew. Vanessa reached over, took her hand, and squeezed it when the wheels touched down on the pavement and they taxied to a complete stop. Flashing red lights and screaming sirens announced the arrival of emergency vehicles. Applause filled the cabin as the door opened, and the FBI agent stepped up out of the cockpit with a man in beige cuffed in front of him. This man had saved them all, and she didn't even know his name. He led the hijacker to the door, but stopped suddenly and stared down the long aisle of the plane until their eyes locked. Mickey sucked in a breath, and her heart jumped into her throat. He gave her a curt nod and then stepped out of the plane. Pride battled against the terror that had taken up residence in her bones. She'd been scared out of her mind, but she'd helped save the lives of everyone on board. The FBI agent, whoever he was, had acknowledged that with that one tiny gesture. Her muscles went lax, and she melted against the seat. She might have helped save the day, but she was going to need a very large drink soon. Chapter 2. Sucking in a mouthful of humid air, Graham forced himself to swallow and push down the anxiety churning up his throat. Telling a mother a suspected sex trafficker took her child never got easier. He loved his job at the Bureau, but not this part. Never this part. He'd much rather be back in Mexico chasing down suspects. But that wasn't an option right now, especially since Sanchez had figured out who he was and hightailed it onto that stupid plane back to Chicago. Graham might have gotten the information he needed from Sanchez once he'd thrown him in a cell, but it hadn't been in time to stop Pete Bogart from taking one more girl. And a plane full of innocent people almost died because of his screw-up. He turned toward his partner and nodded. Eric pressed the button for the intercom on the side of the apartment building, and Graham waited for the moment he would bring a nightmare to a stranger's doorstep. Becca Stanley's family had no idea of the hell they were in for.
Hello? Ms. Stanley?
Eric's voice boomed from his large form, but a hint of compassion softened his delivery.
Yes? My partner and I are here to speak with you about your daughter's disappearance. We're with the FBI. Can we come up?
No more words crackled through the speaker, but a soft buzz vibrated against the metal lock on the door. Graham opened the door, and they hustled up three flights of stairs to the apartment Becca lived in with her mother. Images of young Becca Stanley flashed through his mind. Her curly blonde hair and crystal blue eyes made her appear more like an angel than a child. Her cherub cheeks and heart-shaped mouth were the picture of innocence. He fisted his hands as a desire to beat the man who took her to a fucking pulp surged through him. He'd failed Becca and all of the other girls Pete Bogart had taken. He hadn't gotten the information he'd needed from Sanchez until it was much too late. Too late to keep Pete from taking more girls, but not too late to save their lives. He'd only gotten the name of the man responsible for planting a sex ring in Chicago from Sanchez the day before, and hadn't had much time to get more information on the bastard. But now he had a name, and with the help of Susie Stanley, he'd bust the son of a bitch if it was the last thing he did.
You want to ask the questions?
Eric asked outside the closed apartment door. Graham nodded and readjusted the file clenched in his fist. Eric gave one curt nod and knocked on the door. A woman with eyes the same color as Becca's opened the door. Dark circles hung low under those blue eyes, and tears streaked down her cheeks. She leaned against the side of the door and gazed at them with a far-off stare that suggested she'd taken something to dim her pain.
Hi, Ms. Stanley. I'm Special Agent Graham Grassi, and this is my partner, Special Agent Eric Short. We need to ask you some questions about Becca.
Of course.
Come in. She stumbled backward and Graham reached out to steady her. Ms. Stanley placed a hand over her heart and closed her eyes for a beat. For a second, Graham feared she wouldn't open them back up. Taking a deep breath, she opened her eyes and said,
I'm sorry. I can't. It's just...
Sobs interrupted her words, and Graham led her to the sofa in the living room. This is a difficult situation, and we're very sorry about what's happening. But if we're going to find Becca, we need you to answer some questions about the man Becca was with this morning. Graham sat down beside her and took a pen from the pocket of his jacket. He scribbled notes down on the notepad he had sandwiched in his file. Miss Stanley clasped her hands together on her lap and tried to regain her composure.
I've told the police everything I know, and they're doing everything they can to find Pete Bogart right now.
An Amber Alert has been issued for Becca, and Pete's picture is being flashed across the state in hopes of gaining more information. But we've been investigating Mr. Bogart for a while, and we need you to tell us how you and Becca met him.
I don't understand, she said with a shake of her head. You've been investigating him? You knew he was a bad man and let him hang around with young girls?
Why was he spending time with Becca this morning, Ms. Stanley?
Eric cut in. Graham shot him a what-the-hell-are-you-doing look, but kept his mouth shut. He wondered the same thing, but would have asked in a subtler way.
Pete dated my best friend, Mickey O'Shea. Becca spends a lot of time with Mickey. Mickey's her godmother.
Her gaze flitted between him and Eric, and she wrung her hands. She sniffled back a sob and pressed on.
Mickey canceled their weekly get-together last minute, and Becca was upset. It seemed perfect when Pete texted this morning wanting to see her. I figured an hour out of the house would take her mind off missing Mickey.
Pete dated Mickey, as in they aren't dating anymore?
She broke things off a couple of weeks ago. Something about their schedules being too busy.
Eric took a step forward and angled his chin in her direction.
You didn't think it was odd that Pete would want to spend time with Becca after your friend broke up with him?
A gasp escaped Miss Stanley's parted lips, and she clamped a shaky hand over her mouth. Graham cleared his throat and shot Eric another warning look. The dude needed a little more tact today. Ignoring Eric's question, Graham cut into the tense silence with one of his own. Did you or Becca ever visit Pete's house? She shook her head.
No. He and Mickey would pick her up.
So you don't know where he lives?
Again, she shook her head, and the messy waves stuck to her moist cheeks. Graham pulled pictures from his file of Pete with other missing girls in the city.
Do you know any of these girls?
Miss Stanley took the pictures and flipped through them. She lifted her head, and fear invaded the blue of her eyes, turning them dark as night.
They look familiar, but I don't know them. Maybe I've seen them at the market or the park. Why did he take these girls?
Graham glanced at Eric before he faced her. Time to tell the truth about the monster who'd taken Becca. Pete Bogart is suspected of being involved in running a sex trafficking ring. The pictures in her hand fell to the ground, and Miss Stanley covered her mouth with shaking fingers.
Oh, my God! Not my Becca!
The sobs she beat back before they returned with a vengeance. She cradled her stomach and fell against the side of the sofa. Graham glanced up at his partner. One of them needed to stay and get more information from Becca's mom. One of them needed to go find Mickey O'Shea. Since he had already looked up Ms. O'Shea's information, he'd be the one paying a visit to the bombshell who he'd been shocked to discover was the flight attendant who'd zipped around a plunging airplane last night and helped him take down the hijacker. Could she have been working with Pete all along? Graham rubbed fatigue from his eyes as he sat on Mickey O'Shea's front stoop. He hadn't slept last night. He couldn't believe his bad luck. It couldn't be a coincidence Mickey was working on the plane the night Sanchez had boarded and was connected to Pete Bogart, especially since the man he'd followed onto the plane and later taken into custody was involved in the same sex trafficking ring he suspected had taken Becca Stanley. He still couldn't believe the jackass had attempted to hijack a plane instead of going into custody. But now he couldn't help but wonder if Mickey's actions were too planned out, as if she expected something to go wrong on the plane. Sanchez had sung like a canary and told them a lot about their operation. His vile excuse of a job was to take the new girls to Mexico to train them and then transport them back to Chicago. The only person he worked with directly was Pete, but there were others. Sanchez had spoken to a woman in Chicago who was in charge of keeping an eye on the girls and breaking them down emotionally. Could that woman be Mickey? Graham needed to get a grip. She should be home any minute now, and he had to get a better handle of who she was and what she knew. The lives of three young girls depended on it. The hot August sun beat down on him, causing rivers of sweat to pour down his back. Summers in Chicago were brutal, and the linen jacket he wore to cover his firearm didn't help. Not even a slight breeze stirred the stilted air to cool him. He rested his forearms on his knees, his hands clasped together, as he watched people hustle along the busy streets. Cars honked their horns as they crawled past, and radios blared from open windows. Dumbasses should have their air blasting. Graham glanced at his watch. 10 minutes had passed since he buzzed the doorbell, and no one had answered. He didn't have time to wait all day. He had shit to do. Rising to his feet, he grabbed the file folder sitting beside him and walked down the 3 steps to the cracked sidewalk. He rounded the corner, his grip lingering on the metal rail at the bottom of the stoop, and stopped in his tracks. Mickey walked toward him with a pink yoga mat slung over her shoulder. Tight black pants showed off her sculpted legs, and defined shoulders peeked out from her purple tank top. The mess of curly red hair piled high on top of her head bounced with every motion, and long wisps of unruly strands curled around her face. Her gaze met his, and her wide mouth curved into a smile. Knots twisted in his stomach like a pretzel. Under different circumstances, he'd be smiling about seeing her again, too. But not like this. Not when he had to tell her that her goddaughter was missing, and then figure out if she had anything to do with it. Mickey stopped to stand in front of him and pushed back a coil of stray hair. She furrowed her brow and studied him, but the smile never left her face. "Hi." Graham shoved his hand in the pocket of his khakis, rocked back on his heels, and let the file dangle at his side. The sun hung high in the sky behind her, causing him to squint despite his aviator sunglasses. He noted the dark circles under her eyes. She hadn't been sleeping either. "Can we talk?" Her amber eyes darted around him, and she shifted her stance. "About the plane? I already gave my statement. I don't want to talk about it anymore. No, something else. Can we go somewhere private?" A light blush colored her cheeks, and her eyebrows rose. Damn it, he was giving her the wrong idea. He cleared his throat. "There's been an incident this morning, and I need to ask you some questions." "What kind of incident?" Her voice held a hint of weariness, and she hoisted her yoga mat higher on her sunburned shoulder. He ground his teeth together. She wasn't making this easy. He wanted to get her somewhere private so he could gauge her reaction when he told her about the girl. "I'd really like to sit somewhere to talk about this." She folded her arms across her chest and pressed her lips together. The pleasure etched on her face moments before disappeared. "And I'd really like to know what's going on." A young man in a suit and tie bumped into his shoulder as he hurried by. Graham grunted and staggered back before gaining his footing. Enough. He was hot and tired, and he didn't have time to play games. If she wanted to do this the hard way, he'd play along. "I'll try one more time to be nice. We can go to your apartment and have a conversation, or I can take you to my office. The choice is yours." Mickey's eyes hardened, sketching lines in their corners. "Fine." She stepped around him and climbed the stairs of the stoop. The faint scent of sweat and strawberries lingered behind her. Following her, He climbed the two flights to her apartment, and his dress shoes slapped against the wooden stairs. He pushed his sunglasses to the top of his head.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?